Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, cash money, heroes, private jets, polish. It is 9 p.m., and that can only mean one thing. It's time for another edition of SNY's TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. I'm your host, Anthony Riceballs Donahue, with you, going to take you up until 10:30 right here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. And as always, we have a very big show planned for you. And as always, you can friend me on Facebook, Facebook.com/TonyRiceballs. You can follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG. In about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Alan Hahn from Newsday, Knicks beat writer. We'll get into the latest of the Knicks with the 3-3 start, with the Isaiah stuff. I said I wasn't going to talk about him, but I think it's going to have to get brought up at some point, whether I bring it up to start the show or in the middle of the show or three-quarters of the way through the show or a quarter through the show, or if I don't bring it up, callers are going to call and bring it up. It's just kind of out there. I'll give my 2 cents on it. I'm not going to go crazy like I did over the summer when he got hired. I'll just tell you what I think or what could possibly happen. Obviously, I'll take your calls at 646-478-5554. And as I said, Alan Hahn from Newsday will join me in about 15 minutes on the show. So welcome to another edition of TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Thank you for spending your Monday evening with me. It's always very, very well appreciated. So welcome aboard. So let's get right into it. Yesterday was there's no getting around it. Yesterday was a terrible loss. A terrible loss at Madison Square Garden. Is it going to make the Knicks season? No. Is it going to break them? If they won, was it going to make it? No. If they lost yesterday to the Sixers, was it going to break it? No. But is it a game you need to win, want to win? Yes. I mean, you obviously want to win every game. When you're a team like the Knicks, and obviously they're a new team and there's going to be growing pains and there's going to be games. Let me say this. In an NBA season, there's going to be games you lose that you should have won, and there's going to be games that you lose that you should have won, that you win and you should have lost. Yesterday, well, they didn't choke. I can't really say the Knicks choked yesterday. They just stunk. They stunk up the gym. I mean, Andre Iguodala didn't play. The Knicks losing 106-96. I mean, to be honest, the Knicks should have won. They should have rolled over the Sixers. They should have won by 20 points. I know the 12 o'clock start was rough, but the Sixers traveled here. The Knicks were here on Friday. The Knicks didn't go anywhere. The Knicks stayed at their cribs. The Knicks should have been fine. The 12 o'clock starts do stink because, to be honest, there's no energy in the building. There's none. I mean, Sunday afternoon, I mean, at least start at 2, maybe 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. I mean, I don't know what's up with the 12 o'clock starts. I'm definitely against it. I'm not going to say it's an excuse for the Knicks losing, but I'm not going to lie. The 12 o'clock starts absolutely stink. There's just no getting around it. They stink. But nevertheless, the Knicks, just didn't really play a good basketball game. I know Gallinari with 15 points, Chandler with a so-so game. Amari had a very good numbers game yesterday, but he scored 7 straight points in the fourth quarter, had that big turnover with Evan Turner with the layup, so that kind of put the game away for the Sixers. Just an all-around bad loss to New York Knicks, but that's why it's not the NFL where it's 16 games, it's the NBA. The good thing about the NBA is you could lose on a Sunday and you're right back at it on Tuesday, and that's what's going to happen for the Knicks, who are right back at it Tuesday night in Milwaukee to play Brandon Jennings and the Bucks, who were a playoff team last year, took the Atlanta Hawks to 7 games, so we're off to a slow start this year at 2-5. But the Bucks will get it together, and they'll be in that thick of the race at 6-8 spot, 5-8 spot in the Eastern Conference. So can't take the Bucks lately. Even if, win and lose, one thing about the Milwaukee Bucks, they're going to come ready to play tough defense, play hard, and they'll be fine. 646-478-5554 is the number, TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. I know Thursday night, I know I haven't been on the air since Wednesday. Thursday night was a game a lot of fans got excited about. And me as a fan, I was definitely, you know, I was pumping my fist and I was excited about Thursday night. But the reason I probably didn't go too crazy about Thursday night's win is that, I'm not going to lie, I really didn't necessarily love the way they were playing Thursday, although they were playing very good. They're playing very good. They're making every shot they threw up. And the Knicks, it was like the hoop was the ocean. Every shot that was, I mean, even Roger Mason, had he played Thursday, probably would have made a shot with the way the Knicks were going, especially when Landry Fields hit that three halfway through the fourth quarter. I'm just like, oh, boy, everything is going in for the Knicks. But I know the ball was moving well, but and they were all good shots. But if you're going to shoot, I believe the Knicks are shooting 25 threes a game. If you're going to shoot that many threes, you're going to have nights where you could probably beat anybody, but there's going to be nights where you just don't shoot that good. I don't care how good of shooters you have. You just can't shoot that many threes. The threes need to be, even in the win, the threes got to get cut down. Even though I don't think any of the shots were forced, I think the shots were good shots. But the threes, just, you know, just law of averages. You just can't shoot that many threes. I know the Orlando Magic shoot a ton of threes, and they were in the finals in 2009 and in the conference finals last year, losing to the Celtics in six. But, I mean, oh man, all those three-pointers are borderline insane. So we got that to get to. We'll take your calls on the Knicks. And then, obviously, a nice win Friday against John Wall, possible Rookie of the Year candidate. Seems like him and Blake Griffin could go neck and neck all year. We'll see what Evan Turner can do. But it seems like those two are going to go neck and neck for Rookie of the Year. Good game on Friday. Great. It was, good game on Friday. The energy at the Garden Friday night was awesome. Felt like, I'm not going to say playoff atmosphere, but the energy at the Garden Friday was definitely awesome. But I couldn't help but notice when I got to the Garden on Friday, almost every person I talked to, whether it's with the Knicks, whether it's fans, whether it's ushers, security guards, hot dog people at fans at the seats, there was one person on the brain on Friday, and that was Isaiah Thomas. A lot of people, bottom line is, a lot of people were talking about it. It died down a little bit, Isaiah, with the big-time media blitz throughout. I knew he was on a radio station in Florida, but I believe it was Sid Rosenberg. He was obviously did the interview with Ian O'Connor for ESPNNewYork.com, and was on the Michael Kay Show, which that's a 40 minutes I can never get back. Just talking about these delusional things, and he wants to run the Knicks again, obviously showing no respect for Donnie Walsh, who hired him with the Pacers, who didn't fire him in April of 2008. He let him stay on as a consultant. And then he even threw Dolan under the bus. The guy who loves him, the guy who will do anything for him, let's be honest, Isaiah threw Dolan under the bus talking about he didn't want Larry Brown. I mean, I wasn't hanging out with Isaiah Thomas and Jim Dolan during these negotiations, during these times when, Isaiah and Jim were talking about what coaches to go after. But if you don't, Isaiah is going to say he didn't want Larry Brown. I don't believe that for one second. And even, I think even he threw, Stephon Marbury is a Nick dug his own grave, don't get me wrong, but I even felt he was throwing Steph under the bus a little bit. Well, they didn't listen, they both, Steph and Isaiah, earned it together. But, talking about Steph's personal problems, but he's not going to get into it on the show. Come on, Isaiah. It's just, I don't know, do I think that there's a chance he's going to be back with the Knicks? Yes, I do. Am I going to bet, the house? No. But do I think it's a possibility? Absolutely. Man. Imagine, Allen, you look at Allen Houston, he's probably getting groomed for the position, and he's going to come work next to Isaiah. I'm not saying it's definitely going to happen. I think it's so disrespectful to Donnie Walsh. But if you're going to ask me, do I think there's a chance Isaiah returns to the GM? Yeah, I do. I definitely do. I'd say it's about 60%. But, listen, that's why as a fan, I hope Donnie really makes a big move this year because his contract is up in March. So, boy, I just couldn't imagine him actually coming back. It's just wild stuff. I can get into it a lot more. I definitely will. Alan Hahn from Newsday is going to join me in about 5 minutes on the show. And I want to take some calls before Alan comes on the air. 646-478-5554 is the number, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. You know the drill. I'll say your area code, tell me your name, tell me where you're calling from. Let's talk some Knicks. Let's talk some NBA. If you have any other issues around the NBA you want to talk about, Golden State. The Golden State Warriors are playing pretty good. David Lee comes and makes his first trip back to the Garden on Wednesday. Gives you a nice ovation from the Knicks fans. And, David Lee, how about this for David Lee? His first two games as an NBA player, he didn't even dress. Granted, he was a rookie. He didn't even dress. That's how much better he got. Now, the defense isn't great. Still not great. That's how much better this guy got. First two games, didn't dress. At Boston, home against Washington, opening night, 2005. Did not dress. Now he's an all-star. Kept himself a nice contract with the Golden State Warriors. So it's definitely good for David Lee. So we can get into a lot of that stuff. 646-478-5554 is the number. TheKnicksBlog.com. The Knicks Blog Radio. Let's start it off. Let's go out to you. Let's go out to the phones. And let's start it off with area code 570. You're on the air. TheKnicksBlog.com. The Knicks Blog Radio.
Yo, what's up, Anthony? It's Jason from the Bronx. All right?
Jason,
I haven't called in a minute. You might see me on Twitter as well, New York Spider-Man on Twitter. But
New York Spider-Man?
Yeah, I've texted. I hit you up.
Okay, I know who you are. What's going on, man?
Hey, yeah, nothing much, man. First, I want to say, you know, pick up the energy, man. I know you probably got something on your head that I just seen on Twitter, so shrug that nonsense off. You understand?
You think my energy's down tonight?
Yes, I feel like something's on your mind, man. Something's bothering you. You're a little pissed off about that. So shrug that nonsense off, man. But anyway, about this game yesterday, I was very pissed off at the Knicks because we had a chance
to
go.
Yeah, you had a right as a fan. You had a right to be.
Yeah, we had a chance to go 4-2 to Milwaukee with respectable 4-2, but now we go there with a mediocre 3-3. I mean, it doesn't kill the season. But
I have a problem
when they lose
76 games left, so the season's still kind of young.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. It's really young, but I just hate losing to the Sixers. And of all things, we gave the Sixers that game. We gave at least 10 points.
The Knicks gave the Sixers the game from the first quarter on.
Yeah, you could say that. But we did catch a lead, but then we gave it back to them. Because I felt that we were lackadaisical yesterday, being that it was so early of a game. No excuses. But how many times did we foul them?
The Sixers had to travel. The Sixers had to travel, so they came here to play. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So that's why, granted, the start definitely stinks, but the Sixers traveled here.
Exactly. You're totally correct. But we gave up, we fell for their pump fakes way too much last night.
With Lou Williams like three times. The old school Reggie Miller. Oh, God, I was like, there was even the first time. It's like you saw it coming a mile away. If only Reggie Field saw it coming.
Yeah, and that to me, if those don't happen, and you add the point spread that we lost by, we win this game. But anyway, all in all,
yeah, I mean that's the thing about basketball, man. You can go 50 years down the road. Well, if this didn't happen, or this guy made the pass, or if that shot, if Patrick made the layup, I mean, you can go on and on forever. Bottom line is they didn't get the W. And the beauty about the NBA is you can play tomorrow night and, you know, get back to 4-3 and then win on Wednesday night, you're 5-3. Just how it goes.
Exactly. I just want to ask you one question. What are your thoughts on Anthony Randolph? Because I'm kind of worried about this guy. I don't know. He looks like
man.
A space kid that out there.
I'm not giving up. I'm by no means going to give up on Anthony Randolph because he's 21 years old and it's six games into the season. Oh, God. He looks like – there was one play yesterday, and this is how lost Anthony Randolph looks. Granted, the play – didn't count. It was after the whistle when he tried to dunk the basketball. I'm not sure if you saw it on TV. And he got stuffed by the rim. And it didn't count because it was after the whistle. Well, I'm just like, wow, this guy is lost.
I
wouldn't be shocked if whether it's this year or next year he just breaks out and becomes an awesome player. But I'm just going to call, and I call as I see it, and that's the beauty of doing a Knicks talk show. You know, I take the pulse of the team. I don't do a once-a-month show. I do it three times a week, basically, so I'm going to take the pulse of the team. So as of right now, Anthony Randolph is awful. Now, might he be great tomorrow? Maybe. But as of right now, he's terrible.
He may, but that was a funny moment. I thought I was the only one that saw that, man, but that was good. But anyway, I'm not going to hold you up. I know you got a lot of calls, man. You're doing a great job. Keep it up, man.
All right, Jason, take care, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 646-478-5554 is the number of the KnicksBlog.com. The Knicks Blog Radio will be joined by Alan Hahn from Newsday in a few minutes. Also, like I said, David Lee coming back to the Garden on Wednesday. I'll be bringing my sister with me to talk about perfect timing. She goes back in to the hospital on Thursday for her last round of chemo, which will be a 5-day round. Oh boy, that should be fun. Sarcasm right there. That's definitely not fun. But she actually perfect timing that she's going to go into the hospital the day, because she had said over the summer she wanted to see David Lee, and David Lee only comes to the Garden once because he's on the Golden State Warriors, who are a West Coast team. So she's going to get to see David Lee tomorrow at the Garden. Tomorrow the Knicks are in Milwaukee. Wednesday at the Garden. So she's obviously very excited about that. And definitely so am I. So try to get a few more calls before Alan Hahn comes on the line. 646-478-5554. And let's go to area code 845. You're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, what's going on, Anthony? This is Jeff from Minnesota.
Jeff, what's up, bro?
What's going on? I'm not going to lie, I didn't catch too much of the game yesterday. I saw the first quarter.
That's fine. Don't go back and watch it. If you had it recorded, DVR,
I didn't. Don't go back and watch it. It stunk. I've got the broadband league pass, and I didn't even want to watch the replay. I just had to go to scores. Thursday and Friday, against Washington, against Chicago, I thought the Knicks came out. They came out with a lot of energy, and I thought you saw a lot of good things. The only thing I'm kind of concerned about is I think Amari's playing a little bit outside of himself right now, trying to dribble the ball too much on the perimeter.
Yeah, I feel like he's looking kind of like a small forward.
Exactly. He's taking too many outside jump shots. He's handling the ball a little bit too much on the outside. He's turning into a little bit of a turnover machine. And
a little bit.
He's got to be leading the league in turnovers. It seems like he's
turning
the ball over.
Him and LeBron.
It's getting a little bit crazy out there. But you got to like what you're seeing from Tony Douglas. And I was a little bit down on him in the preseason, but the guy is just really lighting up out there. You know, he's definitely just stroking the rock on the outside. And you got to like what Will's doing. I don't think you put him back in the starting lineup. I think you keep him on the bench because he's really responding to coming off the bench. And
Wilson's playing good ball. I thought he should have played more yesterday. I think he only played, 24 minutes. Gallo played, 34, 35 minutes yesterday? I thought Wilson should play a little bit more. I thought he played really well when he got in there in the second quarter. So that's just my opinion. That's what I thought.
Like I said, I didn't really see too much of the game, but, some of the trends that I've been seeing over the first six games is, I think the Mozgov gets in the game early, first quarter. He doesn't really see too much action in the second half, and, don't get me wrong, Turgeon's doing a great job out there, doing a great job on the defensive end and slashing, catching the ball, finishing around the rim. But I think they got to get the young guys some more minutes out there and, get them a little more acclimated. And I think Randolph will be fine. I mean, I see the common same things you guys are talking about.
Like I said, yeah, and thanks for the call. I got my guests on the line, so definitely call back the next show. Appreciate the love, especially from
Minnesota.
And go Timberwolves, I guess. And, Randolph, I'm not going to give up on Anthony Randolph because it's only six games into the season. But, like I said, I call like I see, and boy, oh, boy, he looks really lost. And I mean, the thing that I was thinking, can you at least make the dunk that didn't count? And he got stuffed by the rim. So that was pretty funny, actually. And right now on the line, he's the Knicks beat writer from Newsday, and obviously – great Knicks vlog, the Knicks Fix, and please welcome to the show, Alan Hahn. Alan, what's going on, man?
What's happening, Rice Balls?
Nothing much, just chilling, just talking some Knicks with all the fans, and good to have you on the show.
Well, thanks. Appreciate it. I'm watching the Warriors trying to put some finishing touches on Toronto right now. Not an easy game for them.
That seems to be the game that everybody's watching right now. Raptors, Warriors, and a lot of Knicks fans still rooting for David Lee. And I see a lot of Knicks fans are excited about David Lee coming back to the Garden. He should definitely get a nice ovation, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I guess a lot of times what you do is you celebrate the players from the great eras, the eras where the team went to the playoffs. But this is a different situation. I think David Lee, has a special place in the heart of most fans. He did, he did really kind of grow here, and I think he obviously conducted himself as a professional, which not everybody did over the last 5 or 6 years. So I think, he definitely deserves at least a warm hand and some appreciation. But, when fans talk about or debate whether it was the right move or anything like that, I still think 9 times out of 10 you sign Amari Stoudemire if you have the chance to and upgrade that 4 spot. I don't know if they really could have coexisted anyway. I don't like Amari at the 5, so I'm not sure really how much, that could have been a possibility. But again, he was a good Knick, and he's definitely somebody that should be appreciated.
Yeah, no question. That's to say about players coming back, because it looked like obviously Ewing's a lot different. Ewing's number one. But when Oakley came back and Starks came back, they are on teams that won. So I, you know, but he'll get a nice ovation. And I remember actually Jamal came back. The Knicks actually did a little video for him, which I actually kind of shocked the hell out of me.
No,
but
that was, I mean, again, you're talking about a guy who's, you know, I mean, Jamal was a classy Knick, even through some of the worst of times. He still conducted himself well and was good to the fans. You know, like Nate Robinson, when he first came back, I thought they might do something for him, but they didn't. And that
yeah, I was surprised
a little bit. Yeah, but again, you're talking about players who I think the franchise appreciated, and I'm not sure the franchise appreciated Nate all that much some of the time.
Right, no question. So it'll definitely be fun. Alan, 6 games into the year, 3-3 start. I think a lot of fans would probably sign up for the 3-3 start, but at the same time, yesterday, I think, I'm not even forget about the Blazers game because that's over and done with. That's, and obviously yesterday's over and done with as well. Yesterday, to me, was a really blown opportunity. 12 p.m. start, 6 p.m. That doesn't matter. That's a game you got to win yesterday, Alan.
Yeah, you know what, though? I mean, call me crazy, but the first free Saturday night of the season and the next morning the team has no legs. I'm just saying, it is New York City. Now, I know both teams
are all
New
young
York
guys.
Saturday night. It's the seventh youngest team in the league. You know, I think the only married player on the team is Eddie Curry, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, I'm not saying that guys were out late or anything. I'm just saying that it was a Saturday night. It was a free Saturday night in New York City for the home team and a very, very early start time the next day. And took them a half to get going, but, you know, that third quarter obviously really hurt them. Once they did get the lead, you know, the legs just weren't there defensively. And I think really that's what it's going to be with this team. If they don't play defense, they're not going to win many games. You know, I think they're realizing that because the offense isn't there yet. It really isn't. You know, Gallinari's not the go-to guy we thought he might be. And Amari just can't carry the team by himself in isolation. So, you know, I think, you know, what you saw in those back-to-back games in Chicago and Washington was the best of what this team could be. A really hungry, tenacious, up-and-down team that, you know, will spread the offense around, and that's when they're most effective. But when the legs aren't there, they're not going to look as good. And that's why, you know, there's still, what, five more back-to-backs left in this month, especially that trip coming up next week that I just booked. I mean, it's a brutal trip. You have, you know, Denver, Sacramento back-to-back, and then you have Golden State and the Clippers back-to-back. I mean, that's a brutal trip. And, you know, you can't fall behind too soon this season. So these are games they're going to have to find a way to win and find a way to get the legs going.
Alan, you brought up Thursday night, and I know a lot of, as a fan, I was definitely happy Thursday night, pumping the fist, you know, throwing, you know, definitely pumped up as a fan. But then, unfortunately, I think I do know basketball a tiny bit, and I was watching the game Thursday night against Chicago, and we're just making it rain, and it's like, can you win a whole season just, you know, they were all good shots. I don't think any of the threes are really finished.
Yeah, they're open looks, but you're right. Yeah.
You can't win a whole season like that, man. I'm like, oh, this. And then when Landry Fields made that three in the middle of the fourth quarter, I'm like, wow. But you can't win for 82 games.
Well, the one that got me was when Tony Douglas answered a Derrick Rose three with his corner fadeaway over Rose. And, I mean, it was one of those ones where when he took it, I was like, really? Really, Tony? And then, but it went in, and I was like, wow, that was a big shot. Because it was a response. You know, it was every time the Bulls seemed to be – making a push, the Knicks would hit a three, you know, and you know, that's how you win games, obviously, but you're right. I mean, to rely on going 16-21 from the arc every night, that ain't going to happen. That's why I like the effort the night after, because that was really more predicated on defense. And I think really that's what it's going to have to be about more than anything. They're going to have those nights, and we saw them in the last 2 years, where they're just going to just, you know, hit everything from three, and, you know, they'll really make it easy for themselves. But for the most part, when those shots aren't going down, it's got to be defense. It really does. It has to be defense, protecting the rim, and using the defense to generate easy baskets through transition from steals and turnovers, which I think the backcourt can really do. I think that's the one thing they've proven is they can generate turnovers and generate bad passes that can lead to quick transition baskets. And, you know, that's really what they have to be about, not jacking up threes.
How about all the block shots, Alan? I mean, the first 2 games of the season, we were the 19 block shots in the game. I said on the show, I said, I don't feel like looking it up. I work hard enough. When was the last time the Knicks blocked 19 shots in 2 games? And no one hit me back with a response. So I guess that must be hard to find. I mean, they're blocking shots like it's going out of style. I guess I look at the roster. I guess they do have a lot of guys that can block shots, but are you surprised with the amount of shots they're blocking?
I didn't know Turiaf was that kind of a shot blocker. I know he was an energy guy. He's an energy guy. You know he's going to bang willingly. You know he's going to, you know, rebound when he can. But he's going to be that guy that just makes the hustle plays. But I never knew he had that kind of timing. I mean, he really, you know, it's impressive. It's not luck. I mean, when he goes after it, he's got good timing and he's got, you know, good coordination that he can reach over and get the ball. He very rarely will foul, and when he does, what I like about him is he's got the no layup foul, you know, which we haven't seen in a long time around here. I mean, he's not giving up easy ones, so I like that. I think Mozgov's got to give you more. At 7-1, he can do more. You know, obviously he's got to stay out on the floor to do more, but this is a guy I really think could be more effective as he starts to understand the game and understand the rotations on defense better. I think he could be a heck of a shot block, and we all knew Amari is a good help shot blocker. He's not a straight-up guy, but he definitely will come over, use his athleticism to help. And, you know, so you have that going for you. And another guy is Anthony Randolph, who, once he figures it out, should be also a very good shot blocker. So they have the kind of guys that can do it. Turiaf is the one that surprised me, but I think you'll have to go back to the Ewing era to find a game or two games where they had 19, you know, cumulative over two.
But did those teams necessarily block a lot of shots, though? I mean,
no, Patrick did, though.
He had some monster
games, though, blocking shots. And, you know, and Oak every now and then would come up with a few. But, you know, you're right. And even when Herb got minutes, I mean, he was a pretty good shot blocker in his day. But you're right. You know, hey, it might even go back earlier, you know, when Ewing was younger and they had, you know, some of the other guys. Oh, God. I mean, think about some of the centers that they had before they were any good.
Yeah, Corver and Ewing together, maybe?
Yeah, there might have been those days, or even, you know, I mean, it's funny, the name that keeps sticking out to me, that Juwan Oldham used to be a decent shot blocker, if you remember that guy. You're probably too young to remember
him.
No,
I don't.
But he was actually, he couldn't do anything else, but he had some length and he could block a shot or two. But anyways, you know, I think that's, you know, a big part of things, because they were just so awful at it the last 2 years that, you know, that's the one thing that stands out the most. I mean, leading the league at 8 a game, and it's definitely something they should be able to do for the rest of this season. And, you know, we'll have to see if it carries over.
Talking to Alan Hahn on Newsday right here on theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. I know a lot of fans throughout the summer talking on the computer and the show and calls and everything, really expecting for Gal to take that next step. And I'm not going to say a guy's taking that step or not taking that step after 6 games, but to me, he looks almost worse than he did last year, but probably the same player. It's, you know, I know he's got to the cup a few times, but just the guy who's, you know, I said after a couple of games this season, Alan, give me especially the Boston game, give me the Gallo of last year. I'll take that in a second right now. Do you think that Gallo's going to take that next step, or do you just think he'll remain that player that'll give you 15, 16 a night, and every now and then 4, and every now and then 30, or do you think he will take that next step this season?
I think it's going to take time. He's still young. I know, you know, he's been in the league a couple of years now, but I don't know if he has that kind of fire to bring it every night. He's definitely a front runner. When the shot's going in, he's feeling it, and then he'll really start going for it. But if he's not feeling right, he's going to defer, and he knows. I don't have it tonight, so somebody else has got to pick it up. You know, he's not going to be the kind of guy that's going to, you know, put up 23 shots. Remember those games that Jamal would somehow finish with 22 points, but he'd do it on 25 shots? You know, that kind of stuff. I don't think he's that kind of player. I really don't. And I think he's going to be more of a well-rounded player where he'll try to defer, he'll try to pass. The thing with me is he's got to stay effective or stay active. I mean, not effective, but stay active in the sense that he has to be a threat. So when there's those games, like the Portland game to me stands out because, you know, there's a game where Portland just basically keyed on Amari and they were all over him. And you know, Danilo allowed himself to come out of that game or be taken out of that game because he wasn't active. And if he was active, you'd have to at least pay attention to him, whether he's hitting shots or not, because guys like him knock down shots in the fourth quarter. You can fall asleep on guys like that and they'll kill you late in the game. And he's actually the kind of guy that the more pressure, the better he is. I've noticed that. I mean, he was awful in Toronto with his shooting. And then all of a sudden, the fourth quarter, it was a big shot for him to take, and he did that step over three, and he drilled it. So to me, it's like when it means something, he's a little more on. And that tells you something about his character, too. But, you know, I still think he's going to be a special player. There's just something about him. He does have a ton of talent, and that shot is tremendous. He's still kind of growing into his body, and I think he's still learning this game a little bit, and there's a lot of expectations on him right now to, you know, to do more and be more. And maybe he's just not ready for it yet, and maybe one day it'll click in during the season, and all of a sudden it'll be like, you know, uh-oh, here he goes.
No, I could definitely possibly see that. How about, I think some fans are surprised with the play of Wilson Chandler. I think he's definitely played pretty well.
Yeah, yo, Anthony,
and, how about your thoughts on the play of Wilson?
But let me interrupt you real quick because I'm watching this
game
with a minute 12 left. Monte, this is key for the Knicks. Monte Ellis just went down hard. And
oh, wow, really?
Having a hard time. They're helping him off the floor. There's like three people around him helping him off the court. I mean, you know, they have an off day tomorrow in New York. Then they play the Knicks Wednesday at the Garden. Be huge if the Warriors didn't have Monte Ellis. Anyways. Yeah, I mean, how about that? I mean, so it just happened. That was a really ugly fall. I'm sure you'll see the highlights of it, but I figured I'd point it out to you since you have listeners right now, and it does mean something for the Knicks coming Wednesday. But
everybody's talking about it on Twitter right now.
Yeah, as far as
and
Wilson Chandler goes,
and talk at the same time.
You know, you're amazing because I can't even. I'm trying to watch the game and listen to you at the same time. I'm having a hard time with that. But
there's many shows, actually, where I tweet and do the show at the same time, and people just find me nothing less than amazing. But, I do my best, you know?
How are you? That means you're not even listening to me, is what you're saying.
No, I'm listening to you as well. I'm listening to you as well. I'm just kind of a nut. Like, I'm just like my own little world. So, no, I am listening to you because I'm not a big note-taker before interviews, so I have to listen to you to figure out the next question because when I write things down, they kind of mean nothing to me. You know,
right.
I just write a couple notes down before the show, and I just let it rock. I use my photographic memory of preseason games from 1996 when I was 12, and I just figure it out from there.
When you were 12 in 1996, man.
Wait, 96? Yeah, I was 12 in the preseason in 96 because I turned 13 in 8th grade. Yep, definitely.
So your fondest memories of that run to the finals in 99?
Oh, that
you
was the night.
Right, you were too young to know 94.
No, 94 was one of the greatest. When Ewing dunked that versus the Pacers, I was 10 years old. That was one of the greatest moments of my life. I was amazing.
Yeah, but you were,
come
on, you were 10 years old. What did you know about it?
Alan, if I could track down, and I probably can, if I could track down my fifth grade teacher, she would tell you. We used to do class news every day in fifth grade, and I would give the Knicks report. And my first Knicks game was April 2nd, 1994, versus the Miami Heat with Grant Long, Steve Smith, Glenn Rice,
sure.
Bimbo Coles, John Sally. Yeah. I have the ticket stub in my wallet still. So I remember that. And I remember
you know, it's funny.
The finals. What's
funny, you're reminding me of when I was 8, the Islanders won their first Stanley Cup. Now, I know everybody's going to turn off your station right now. But because I was a huge hockey fan back then. And it's funny because I was 8 and I remembered it. I remember it vividly, the first Cup. And, you know, it was the same thing. You could ask my, you know, as they kept winning, I mean, I remember in sixth grade, they were going for, I think, the fifth cup by then. I can't remember now. But I would write about them. Like, every composition had to do with them. Every single thing I wrote, no matter what it was always about hockey or the Islanders, and it was just, it was pretty funny.
No,
you just reminded me of that. Now we got to get your listeners back.
What?
So let's get back to basketball.
No, that's how it was with the Knicks. I remember Game 5 of the 94 Finals. I was fifth grade, like 5 more days after school. We had a school trip to Howe Caverns. I remember talking about the game that night, and then all of a sudden there was, you know, there wasn't like 2010. The game got shut off, and we ended up winning the game but losing the series. In 99, when the Knicks won Game 6 versus the Pacers. Actually, let me get to Game 5 versus the Heat. When Allen made the shot, my shoulder popped out, and I had shoulder surgery. I had the surgery 2 years later. I went so crazy, and my arm must have just went the wrong way. And right after the shot went in, my shoulder was on, like, you know, another planet, and I pop it back in.
You got to be
and
kidding
2 years
me.
Later,
pumping
I
your
had
fist?
Surgery on it.
You popped your shoulder
yeah,
pumping
I,
your
I
fist?
Guess, yeah. Once the shot went in, I must have just jerked my body so much that my shoulder popped out.
That's tremendous.
I wish I was making this up. Like you're probably.
I think it'd be funny to talk to fans like the worst injuries ever from celebrating.
And
like
Alan knows
be great
about
to
it. And
yeah.
But when they won in 99, they won beat the Pacers. I was living upstate in a small town, upstate New York, where most of the town were Pacer fans because Rick Smith lived there in the offseason.
Yeah.
So when the Knicks won, I remember I ran a lap around the town. I was 15 years old, so I got away with it. It was amazing.
That's awesome. Well, hopefully, you know what? I was talking to somebody earlier today. They were asking about, you know, covering the team and covering sports and what do you get out of it and stuff like that. And the funny thing is like, you know, I mean, I never try to hide this. I mean, I grew up a Knicks fan. I did, you know, and 94 was an incredible year. And it was, you know, I hated Sam Cassell. Anytime I see him, I'm always like, dude, you killed me, you know. But, you know, when you get a little bit older, you get into this business, you kind of detach a little bit. Because you have to, especially the years I covered hockey, I really detached from the team. And so when I came back to cover the team, you know, it's a different perspective. And to be honest with you, when people say, oh, you want to see the team win, I do, but I want to see the team win not for me. And this is going to sound, you know, I mean, this is the truth. I want to do it because, I mean, you see how passionate fans are and you see how much it means to them. And it's almost like, in a way, it's like I want to write that story that they're dying to read, which is, you know, the drought is over, the playoffs have been clinched. I mean, it's just that means something. It really does. And so that's what I'll get out of the Knicks winning. It's not anything for me. I don't, you know, I could care less, you know, for me, myself personally, because I have a job tomorrow whether they win or lose. But for fans and knowing how much it means to fans, that's what kind of gets you. To me, that's what's motivating, because you want to write that story for them. You want them to experience, you know, what they're, you know, like guys that are younger than you that really don't even remember 99. You know, that's the thing I think that I'm looking forward to doing one day, and hopefully maybe it'll be this year.
Yeah, you think about the 15, 16-year-old Knicks fan. They have no clue what it's like. They've been to a couple games. Maybe they were at the Denver game last year or it was kind of rocking or whatever. The 15, 16-year-old Knicks fan has no clue what a big game is like at the Garden. They have no clue.
Now, the best they know is last year, Oklahoma City, right? Like Durant's big shot when McGrady's first game. You know, that's the loudest. That's the loudest that building's been in a long time, but you're right. But you know what? When you're 16 years old, you have the world by the ball, so I don't care. I really don't care.
Yeah, that's true. when I was 16 was when they lost to the Pacers in 2000. I remember the night they lost was the day before my junior prom. I remember I was going to wear a Sprewell pin to the prom because if they would have won Game 6, Game 7 would have been Sunday. So I didn't rock the pin, but although in a lot of my pictures, and I actually won prom prince, I'm throwing up the LJ in a lot of my pictures. That means absolutely nothing, but just more showing
off. Let me ask you, you're throwing up, did you have a date?
Yeah, of course I did.
I was going to say, because if you're throwing up LJ's, I don't know if she stayed with you.
No, of course. I would go to prom solo. Come on now. Hey, like I said, I won prom prince, man. I had to be doing something right.
I guess that's true.
So what were we talking about? Wilson Chandler, the play of Chandler.
Yeah, no, I think he's right where he belongs, coming off the bench. A lot of people think, oh, should he be starting? Maybe he should move in for Gallo. No. I think the way Mike's got it right now, and you know how he loves to shuffle the deck, and I mean, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know what, leave this thing alone. You got the rotation right. You really do, because I think him coming off the bench is exactly what you need, because he can come in at 3 or 4. It all depends on where you need him, and he can score. And I think that's important. He's athletic, so he keeps you moving. He's a good defensive player. Him and Turiaf come in, and Douglas come in, and it gives you more defense. And I think really that's the way it should be. He's found a comfort zone. I really think that, you know, best case scenario for him is really that kind of a player, a six-man kind of guy that can give you either spot, either forward spot, and give you some scoring off the bench. And you know, I like the way he's playing right now. He's healthy, which is good to see. That dunk over McGee was epic. I mean, that's a heck of a dunk he threw down maybe a year ago. I don't think he had the lift off that leg, off his ankle that he has now. And he really might, if you ask him, he might tell you he's still not 100%. But, you know,
no,
I like where he is,
playing
and I
ball.
Think he's playing well.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, because he just started playing full contact. I remember my event for my sister, he was talking about how he just started playing full contact ball, I believe, a couple days before that. And
right,
that was a week before training camp.
Yeah, it is amazing. So, and even I remember during camp, he said he was about 85. He wasn't quite there yet, 85%. But, you know, that move was very explosive when he went baseline. And I said that to myself. I'm like, you know, that's as powerful, explosive as he's been in a while, you know, because I remember it was, 2 years ago where he was really explosive, and then he hurt I believe it was the knee. And, you know, last year, obviously, he was banged up at the end of the season. I think, you know, now you're seeing him where he's, you know, he's starting to get there, where he's almost 100%. And you can see the kind of player he can be because he's so strong. He's explosive. And I think, again, six man off the bench, you know, versatile either at the three or four, I think that he's just where he needs to be right now.
Do you think he's part of the future for the Knicks moving forward past this year, though?
Well, I think, you know what, you can't answer that for a lot of these young guys because you don't know what's going to happen going forward. And I think that's the reason why he wasn't given an extension. We kind of knew that it was going to go down that way. I mean, you know, I know in some other areas they were trying to throw it out there that it might happen. It wasn't going to happen because the Knicks have to maintain their flexibility knowing that a guy like Carmelo Anthony could be out there as a free agent if he isn't moved by the deadline. And I think that's why you have to think about, well, if you're going to get Carmelo as a free agent, where are you going to have Will? You know, where are you going to play him? Because if you don't have to give up anything to get Carmelo, if you're just basically getting him, signing him outright, you know, that means you're keeping Gallinari, which, you know, he's obviously a three-point threat that you can use 2-3 or 4. And I think, you know, Wilson could be a piece that you could end up moving for another area. But, again, I'm not saying you get rid of a guy like that. I think he's a terrific player. He's also a guy that you love having on your team because he's a coach's dream. He does what you ask him to do. He's never going to complain. All he does is work hard. He shows up every day, you know, to play. He loves to play. And, you know, I think he's an asset to a team. And I think he's the kind of guy that on a team, like I'd love to see him in San Antonio or situations like that in those kind of franchises where there's veterans, they've been there. You know, you put him on a team like that, and there's not a lot of pressure on him to perform, and I think he could really fit in and be a terrific role player. But, you know, and that even could be here with the Knicks for all we know. But, you know, again, you ask me, you know, is he somebody that's going to be here next year? I don't know who's going to be here. You know, Gallo might not be here next year. Randolph might not be here next year. There's a lot of guys that might not be here next year because you don't know what's going to happen with the CBA, and you don't know what's going to happen with free agency and trades.
No question. What's the latest on Azubuike? Is he going to be a Christmas present versus the Bulls?
Well, you know, again, you root for the guy because he's a good guy and because he's working so hard to come back. But look,
he seems like a good guy, right?
Yeah, you know, he's a terrific guy. And, you know, he's a good character guy. And that's really what Donnie really built, a team filled with good character guys. I mean, you don't have a bad guy in that room. I think you really have a very strong group when it comes to character, which is why you think – they're not going to fall into those habits like these teams the last couple of years. We're so used to it because we just saw it all the time. You know, they'd lose a game, they'd play like garbage, and then it would kind of snowball or people start pointing fingers. I don't think this group's built that way. I think they have a different kind of personality to them that they'll fight back a lot more. But, you know, Azubuike, I think, is someone that injury is just a tough injury. And I don't want to say a guy doesn't have a chance. But as much as, you know, you keep hearing about, well, maybe he'll be back at this point, maybe he'll be back at that point, it's such a tough injury, I just wouldn't be surprised if he couldn't do it. You know, it's asking a lot. Patella tendon.
It's already been over a year, too, right? Or around a year.
It's almost been a year now since the injury. And it takes, you know, if he's been out a year, it's going to take a year for him to really get back to where, you ask any player who's had a knee injury, it takes a year to get back to where you were. So, you know, I wouldn't expect a lot from him. It's not like he's going to step in and be the player he was, you know, last year, the year before in Golden State, where he was a tough defender, could knock down a three, and very athletic. I just think, you know, he's someone that if he does get back, it's going to be, you know, a little at a time. And, you know, I think the best case scenario is he can give you something by playoffs, but I wouldn't be expecting him, you know, to step in and, you know, defend Derrick Rose on Christmas Day. I don't think it's, yeah, hey, you know what, and I hope it does work out for him, because I hate being the guy that says, oh, he won't make it back. But that kind of an injury, from the people I've talked to, it's really, really going to be tough for him to come back and be full strength and really be the same player he was.
Alan, you wrote a lot about Raymond Felton and Amari Stoudemire, you know, Raymond getting the rock to Amari, you know, 20 feet out. Is that something that maybe Amari should just go down to the block and get the ball down there, or is that something these two should and eventually will work out?
That pick and roll, that's what it's all been about. I mean, think about it. If you remember watching Phoenix, I mean, a lot of his baskets were easy baskets. You know, yesterday's game, two things stood out to me. He got dunks off the pick and roll, and it was the only time he's ever really been free to explode and use his athleticism. You know, we really haven't seen his athleticism in the regular season yet because everybody's bottling him up. You know, Landry Fields found him for a pick and roll, and then Gallo found him for a pick and roll for a dunk. Felton finally got him on the baseline, and I think Amari was so surprised it got to him that he hesitated a minute before he took one step and threw it down. Then, you know, the second time Felton tried it, he missed him. You know, it's one time he threw it, I think, towards his neck. You know, I think Ray Felton is obviously a tremendously talented player, and he's really good at the drive and kick, you know, the drive and dish. He's terrific like that, where he can generate offense off his offense. But one thing he really hasn't mastered yet is that pick and roll, is how to draw the big or get the guard to go over the top and give himself the space where he has the seam and just feed that ball right through. Chris Duhon, for all his faults, that's one thing he did real well. Chris could get that ball there. I mean, he made it so easy for David. And, you know, Chris was a guy who couldn't hit a three, couldn't hit a jump shot, yet somehow he got people, you know, people still drew to him, and he was able to make that pass. You know, Felton misses a lot of chances where he could just throw an oop, throw it up at the rim. You know, Malkov, I remember one time when the pick and roll didn't work out, he turned to Felton and he just pointed to the rim. He said, you know, as if to say, just throw it up there. And I think that's really the last frontier right now for this offense. If Felton can figure that stuff out and find the seams in the pick and roll and get those passes to guys like, obviously to Amari, but even to Malkov, and even, you know, maybe even Anthony Randall, then I think this offense will finally start taking off. But you know, right now, I wouldn't start going. See, the ISOs early in the season, in the first couple of games, they tried to do that with Amari. We learned quickly that's not his game. I mean, he just can't take people off the dribble that often. He shouldn't anyway. He shouldn't rely on it. They've got to do more pick and roll, pick and pop with him and let him use his athleticism to overwhelm people.
And hopefully they get that down soon. Alan, I always say, I call it like I see it. I'm not going to kill Anthony Randolph yet. He's coming off a little bit of an injury. But it seems like there was two plays yesterday that actually wouldn't have mattered anyway. One was on the breakaway, and he got fouled. And we went for the dunk, and he missed. Now, I'm not going to kill a guy that missed
the
dunk.
Well, he didn't miss it.
Fouled.
He did get hit. He did get fouled.
He did get hit, but it was just like I almost knew he was going to miss it. And then this other play, which didn't mean a damn thing, actually, is when the whistle blew, and he tried to dunk it, and he got stuffed by the rim. I'm like, this kid can't do anything right now.
Well, he's definitely struggling, and I think a lot of it has to do with confidence. And a lot of it all is comfort. And I think he doesn't really – this is a system that will expose you if you have a low basketball IQ. I mean, let's just be honest. If you have to think before you take a step, and, you know, you're already a step behind. And if you aren't sure, and then if you just kind of play react, like the other night he caught the ball and shot it every time against Washington. It was almost like every single time he touched it, he just threw it up. And, you know, you like him aggressive, but not that aggressive. And I think he's got to find himself, and he hasn't yet. And he's 21, and he kind of, you know, took a beating from Nelly in Golden State, and he's probably still dealing with a lot of that because, man, every time something bad goes wrong, he looks at the bench every single time. So you know he's been used to being yelled at. And I give Mike credit because against Washington, when he was chucking up shots in the, you know, in his first time out on the floor, it was a timeout, and I said, he's got to get him off the court. He's got to take him out of the game. And he's hurting him, and he's not making any sense taking these shots. And Mike left him in, you know, and the same thing happened Sunday where he made these mistakes. He was terrible. He was just a mess. You know, he'd get a rebound, but then he'd turn it over or he'd miss a dunk or whatever. And I said, again, Mike's probably going to yank. He's got to get him out of here. And to Mike's credit, he kept him in the game. And I think the most important thing is they've got to give him his 10 minutes a game so he feels like he's part of it. He doesn't feel like he's being, you know, outcasted. And little by little, he'll start to find his comfort zone. To me, he's got to emulate Marcus Camby. He's got to get this idea out of his head that he could be a, you know, an Aldridge or you know, even, you know, Kevin Durant, which he has no chance of being. I think he really needs to start focusing on Marcus Camby as a role model, as the kind of player he should be, where he roves in the paint and he comes and help block shots, that he rebounds like crazy, that he uses athleticism to go after that ball and rebound and throw outlets and then run the floor and finish where the other big just can't keep up with him. Because that's his advantage. I mean, when he goes up against other fives, he's long and he can jump, and he can outrun them. And he's got to use that, but he doesn't. The thing that kills me about him is his motor. How many times is he beaten down the floor because he just doesn't get up the floor or he gives up on the play?
I noticed that.
He doesn't chase down. I mean, to me, he'd be a great chase down block guy if he wanted to. But, again, I don't think he thinks that way yet. He's thinking too much as an offensive player and a face-up guy instead of maybe as a guy that does intangibles, and that's going to take a while.
I definitely hope he gets that. Another thing, Alan, you've written about it. Everybody's talked about it. I've tried to – the Isaiah thing, he went on a media tour. He actually did three interviews. I think it was Ian O'Connor, Michael Kay, and when I was in Florida. What are your thoughts on it? Do you think that there's a chance he could ever be the GM of the Knicks? What are your overall thoughts on the situation?
I think anything's possible, obviously. I mean, we know this. We know he wants to come back to the NBA. He's the kind of guy that, you know, he cannot stand being in obscurity. And at FIU down there, he's in obscurity. And it kills him to not be in the NBA. He needs to be in the NBA because he the way he left. This guy's a Hall of Famer. And he knows what's happened to his name and to his career. So when you look at it from his perspective, you could just tell that he's just itching to get back and reprove himself and clear his name. But the problem is he's doing it all wrong. And first and foremost, it was incredibly disrespectful to Donnie Walsh for him to be talking about the guy's job when, A, he hasn't even talked about retiring yet, you know, and, B, he's done a hell of a job turning this franchise around in 2 years. You know, they didn't get LeBron James, but the franchise is so much healthier now than it was 2 years ago when it comes to payroll, when it comes to positioning. I mean, look, they didn't get LeBron, but they're still in position to get Carmelo if you can get him as a free agent, and they're still in position to even make a play for Chris Paul or Deron Williams. I mean, they still have that ability, which in the last decade they were so capped out they never had a chance at anyone. I mean, what was the best they could do with Kobe that time but give him the mid-level exception? So
he tried.
You know, I mean, and they tried, right? But just think about it. So the fact that what Donnie has done, you know, and he's done such a good job, not only just cleaning up the mess, but bringing a little bit of respectability back to the franchise where it's not the circus anymore. I mean, that's the one thing I wrote about is how Donnie has gone out of his way all the time to just try to pull that circus tent down. No matter how many times people try to put the tent back up, he pulls it back down. No, we're not going there. We're not doing that. And in this situation, it was the same thing. We all surrounded him, trying to get him going about, well, what is your reaction to what Isaiah said? And you could tell. He was just like, I have no reaction. That's it. I consider him a friend. That's it. You know, he wasn't going to get into it because he knows what happens when he starts in with the words. Then it's a war of words, and then it just gets uglier and uglier, and he knows that that's just not the way to go. He has brought respectability and accountability back to this franchise, and I think he needs to be credited for that. And I think, really, Isaiah, you know, it was self-indulgent and very obviously selfish of him to talk about it publicly when Donnie hasn't gone anywhere yet. You know, I mean, look, if the guy's gone, it's a different story. If he talks about retirement or says he's going to retire at the end of the season, it's a different story. But right now he's told us he has no plans to go anywhere. He at least has another year left on his deal. So that's what I think. I just think it's Isaiah itching to get back into the league and knowing really the only avenue he has is in New York, and from considering how the fans were reacting to this thing, you know, I just hope it doesn't end up happening.
No, definitely, and I don't want to break down all his quotes because then we could, interview, but there was a few things that he said that I was just like, did he really like the whole, like, his plan was to get LeBron and
right, but anybody in the know knows how misguided some of those comments were. So it really isn't worth going back and, you know, fine-tooth combing everything he said, because a lot of it was misguided and a lot of it was untruths. Like I said, to me, the only thing that matters here is that it was incredibly, whether it was intentional or not, incredibly disrespectful to Donnie Walsh. And I think that man deserves better than that. And it was a huge mistake. And Isaiah really shouldn't go there anymore. He's got to let it go. And when the day comes that, you know, Donnie is ready to step down, or maybe the team's ready to step forward without him, God forbid, then we'll have to deal with that circus all over again and see if it's true, see if he does come back. And if he does, you know, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I think a lot of us would be at a loss of words. Now, final thing, this is a random topic that Actually, I guess as the more popular I get, I'm getting it too. And I texted you about it a few weeks ago, and I can't believe I'm going to even reference this, but whatever. I got nothing else to do. Internet thugs. I actually responded to one this evening. It was totally out of my character. I know you've told me about it. What's up with that? And like, it's crazy. Like, it's one thing to disagree with someone. Hey, I don't think Chandler's that good or good. People say some. I think it's more on Twitter than Facebook. People say some wild stuff to you, and I've seen the stuff people have said to Broussard, or obviously it's happened to me now a little bit on a smaller level. But people go in, man. One guy made a cancer reference last week about my sister. I didn't even respond to it. Well, what's up with that, man? People really go crazy on that stuff sometimes.
Well, think about it. The reason why it's not as much on Facebook as it is on Twitter is because on Facebook, that's your real identity. On Twitter, you just make up a name. You know, I mean.
Yep, true.
You can be anything you want. Just create some crazy name and, you know, follow the one person you're trying to harass, and then you just harass them. And to me, I mean, look, man, if the most you have in your life is doing that, like if that's the best you can do with your day, I feel sorry for you already. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if I'm your entertainment, you know, oh well. You know, I got better things to do in my life than worry about, you know, antagonizing someone. You know, we disagree. That's cool. And you know, we're always going to disagree. But, yeah, like I said, if this is the best thing going on in your life, you know, then you got bigger problems than the things you're saying to me. So I can't get too caught up in that stuff because, you know, like I said, I got too much else going on in my life. I'm sure you do. And it's just not even worth putting the time into it.
No, definitely. But sometimes as a human, and maybe just being out a little younger too, sometimes as a human, you log on and you see some person, like, just like, saying some wild stuff. And sometimes it's like you don't respond to, like, to 10, but finally by the 11th one, there was a one character going at me every day. And finally by the 20th one, I was out of my character to respond back. I'm like, dude, just leave me alone.
Well, why not just, you know, that's why Twitter gives you the option to block and report as spam.
That's true.
That's what you do. You close it out. You know what I mean? You just shut it down. You know, the problem with, I think what happens is a lot of people focus so much on things that people say negatively that because people say so many things positive to you, and you don't want to focus on that because you're just waiting for that one person to criticize you, which I think is the wrong way to go. Just focus on the people that, you know, that are positive because, you know, there's always going to be people that are honest with you, and that's what I always look for. You know, not everything I write people are going to agree with, but, you know, a lot of times, you know, I'll get those emails where it's prefaced with, hey, you know, I love what you do, but I'm not sure I agree with you on this one. All right, cool. You know, that's fine.
I have no problem with that stuff.
You know, but if you come at me with the whole, you know, you're afraid to write this or you say this or you're, you know, apologizing for this guy, it's like, all right, well, whatever. You don't know anything about me, so, you know, that's fine.
Yeah,
but,
definitely.
But you can't focus on, you know, too much negative energy, man. You know, like, you can't focus on that stuff. You know, I always listen to constructive criticism. I always listen to points of view. Because, I mean, there's the times where I watch the game, and maybe I didn't see it. And I was like, you know what, I didn't see it like that. And I'll listen. I always take somebody else's perspective into consideration and then think about, you know what, maybe that's right. And I just didn't see it. But, you know, again, when somebody's just coming straight at you just to get you to respond, block and report is spam, baby. I'm done with you.
Well, I guess I'm becoming somewhat of a small star then, because I'm already blocked a few people now, so I guess I'm getting right up there.
I guess that's how you. It's not how many followers you have; it's how many people you've blocked. That tells you how big of a star you've become.
Is that a new thing? You said it first. I'm giving you credit. That's a great quote. It's not about how many followers you have; it's about how many people you block. That's a great one. You heard it first, from Alan Hahn on theknicksblog.com. That's what it's all about.
There you go. Me and LeBron, we've got a long list of blockers, not followers.
I heard you signed an autograph yesterday. I just got to sign an autograph now.
No, I didn't actually. It was a check stub. I just signed that.
I did sign one at my event. It was actually Wilson was next to me, and a dude came up to me, asked Wilson for his autograph, and he puts the hat in front of me with the marker. I was like, "What do you want me to do with that?" He's like, "Sign the hat." And I actually have a photo of Wilson is looking at me like, "Are you really signing an autograph, dude?"
Yeah, you just devalued that hat.
Oh, no question about that. Alan, thanks for spending some time with me on the show. It's always great talking hoops with you. Oh, you're in Milwaukee?
No, I'm off that one. I'm going to hang out with D-Lee tomorrow.
All right, sounds good. Are you going down a shoot-around?
shoot around where? What
well,
are you talking about? Yeah, no,
oh,
Warriors coming. Warriors coming
tomorrow?
In tonight. I'm gonna go check. I'm gonna catch up with D-Lee and see how he's feeling, and I'll be with the team in on Wednesday, and then back in Minnesota. I'll be with them as well.
Sounds good, man. Always do a great job.
Thanks, bud. I'll talk to you.
Take care, Alan. That was Alan Hahn on theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio from Newsday, bringing up all sorts of topics from the Knicks to Amari to Felton to internet thugs to signing autographs to how many people you block on Twitter. It's not how many people you who follow you. It's about how many people you block. You heard it first on theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. So we'll give Alan Hahn that quote. And if any of the, you know, internet thugs are listening, whatever. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to follow back to them anymore. As people probably saw my Twitter, I went at somebody tonight, whatever. It's all good. So thanks for Alan for coming on the show right here on theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. So take a little bit of calls, then we'll call it a night. So 646-478-5554. Let's go out to the calls, and let's go to area code 646. You're on the air at theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Hello?
Yo, Ant.
What's going on, brother?
What's going on? It's Georgie Boy, man.
George, what's up, bro?
Good, good. See, you got caught out there tonight, man. That's a bad thing, but you don't even worry about that.
What's that?
God,
George.
Yo.
That, you're doing a low profile. You're being a little, come on, George, where's the energy? I know you got energy.
You know what? I want that energy Wednesday night. That's what I'm psyched up for, man. Am I in the building or what, man?
You can get it, George. There's some cheap tickets out there, man. Trust me.
Can you get me a ticket? You know what it is with them tickets, dog? They're trying to charge. I'm trying to get a bunch of tickets, right? Now I got money. I want to pay for it. Now, can you somehow talk to somebody where I went on the KnicksBlog.com, checked out the tickets for tomorrow available for me, Angel, and Gino, Paul Clark, a few of us. We want to go tomorrow night, but they're trying to charge us $25 on top of each ticket for a shipping fee for every individual ticket. Like, we're trying to order five.
You know why that
tickets.
Is, George? George, you know why? Because I think it's like this for a lot, whether it's Ticketmaster or StubHub, a lot of sites will charge, if you get a ticket like within like 48 hours or 3 days before the game, they'll just kick in some extra fees just because they will and they can.
No, I'm not debating that. I'm not saying whether it's legal or not legal what they're doing. I'm not saying no, we're just like, damn, like we was, you know, it was like, damn, can you send it, ship it to one place, all the tickets at one? It was like, nah, you got charged $25 per ticket. You're like, God damn, man. You know?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, whatever you do, don't go down and get scalp tickets because from what I'm hearing, a lot of people, the last few home games, got a lot of counterfeit scalp tickets. So they were getting up to the window or you know, the gun or whatever, and they were hitting it, and then, like, their tickets weren't working. So, you know, I would just try StubHub. Hold on, let's go to StubHub right now.
Hook me up, man. Hook me up to my man. Paul was trying. Few of them are trying.
Let's
just,
see. Let's check the price.
I need
now,
to get into the building.
Now StubHub's
going to
charge an extra fee, too. Hold up. Let's see what the guy StubHub
is. Come on. Me and you could do the Rice Balls dance and show David Lee. Man, I need to be in the building. I've never seen my man play at MSG. I have never seen him, man.
George, $18. You got tickets for $18.
Where at? Without no fee?
It's not going to be great, but it's got you in the building.
That's all I want to be. As long as we're in the building. The TKB gangster.
They're gonna hit you
with
tax, so it's probably gonna come to almost 30 each. They're definitely gonna.
Right,
hit you
I got
tax.
More than that. One's for like $50 ticket. I'm taking Angel, Chino. We going down there crazy.
All right, you
Ball,
can get a good. Okay, well, how much do you want to spend, George?
All of us probably like $40-$50 a ticket if I can get a good seat somewhere. You know, I'm not trying to
eight ticket?
Be honest with you. Yeah.
All right, go to StubHub.com. They got tons of tickets. They got tickets starting at 18. And StubHub better send me a check because I'm hooking them up right now. Go to StubHub.com. They got tickets ranging from $18.75 to obviously they have tickets for in your price range of $40-$50.
As long as I'm in the building, I just want to be in there. I just wanted to tell you, man, because
yes,
yeah,
so
I'm
Alan StubHub right now because here's the thing: I would order from StubHub ASAP because I'm not sure if they do have a fee where if you order a ticket within a day or two of the event, it costs more money. So if I were you, I'd order that ticket right now because the fee might not kick in until tomorrow. So
yeah, I'm gonna
order that ticket right now.
Well, I'm gonna get on the air with Paul and all of them after your show tonight. Me, Chino, Angel, we all gonna talk about going there tomorrow, Wednesday night. They all wanna take me like it's my birthday. But I just wanted to tell you, man, it disgusts me. Like you said, man, we could all agree to disagree on things in life and whatever topic it is in life, man, and that's all good and dandy, man. But when people start crossing a certain line, saying certain things, man, it's mind-boggling. But what you got to do, man, because I fell into the same trap with you with that same cat, and what I did, you block him off, man. You don't deal with it no more. Don't lower yourself to talk what he talks to. People like that got a lot of issues, man.
You know, where is the block button on the Twitter page? I have Twitter. I have a new Twitter on my.
I already blocked him off last week.
Where is
the
block button? This is how we do it. Where is the block button?
The block button is you got to go to his name.
Okay.
You're following, right? You look who's following you, right? You go to his thing, who's following you. And when his name pops up on the right-hand side, you'll see it. It says block.
That's going to take forever.
The box
I have a lot of
I know you do.
Done.
But if you really want it done, because you better off
it
doing
done.
That.
No, George, you can actually get it on the profile.
I found myself, you know, in the same trap with him last week, and I told New York Ritterman, I told him the same thing. You know what? Don't waste your time with cats like that, because cats like that, on a computer, they're tough. But if they were standing in the same room with you, they would not be saying certain things that they say on a tweet if they were sitting in the same room with certain individuals. But, you know, don't play yourself. Don't lower yourself to cats like that, because God knows ugly. And trust me or not, he sits home all day. He attacks people. Got ish. People like that, they ain't got no life, man. You leave them people alone, man. You know what I'm saying? Don't even lower yourself to that, man.
Alan had a good point, though, and from a standpoint where Twitter's different than Facebook, where one thing, Facebook, you have to friend request a person. And for the most part, Facebook, you have to put your real name. Now, granted, I guess I could go to Facebook.com and make up a name, you know, Bill, you know, Walker or something, right? Bill Walker, you know, the Knicks. I could go make up a name right now on Facebook and still get an account, but I still got to friend request the person and stuff. Where Twitter, I go to Twitter.com, make my screen name, you know, Johnny35, and really I'm just living in, like, Wisconsin or something, and I'm just, you know, going on Twitter.com, and I'm just, you know, saying racist things, you know, hurtful things, people.
Yeah, people are wild.
I could say, there's this one character on Twitter. I don't know who it is. I'm not going to reference the name. He said some stuff to me, so I went to his, it was like a month ago. So I go to his page, and all he is cursing, saying racist things.
Yeah,
it's funny, though. It's actually funny. Myself, Carmelo Anthony, a lot of big celebrities, and I don't know how my name got lumped into that. So my thing is the picture of him might not even be him. Like, the picture of him is like a big fat guy, right? And I'm thinking he looks like some 50-year-old fat guy, right? And I'm thinking to myself, because the way Twitter is, man, it really might be a 17-year-old kid. He just found that picture on the internet. Like, you know, it really might not be that guy that you see in the photo. It really might just be some guy, kid, 16 years old with his homies. They just Googled a picture of a fat guy, found the picture of a fat guy. Now, that's your Twitter picture. Now, I'm going to call myself blah, blah, blah. I'm going to, you know, say things to people that are, you know, beyond nasty. And I said, I don't want to reference any names. That's just how,
we all,
you know,
know
I just,
who
I,
it is.
I
everybody
like,
seen it out there earlier. You know what I'm saying? It was bored. Everybody knows who it was. It's just, listen, like, he had, everybody's an individual to disagree with you about any topic or come at you about any topic, sports related, whatever. He has everybody's in to disagree with you. But it's just, I hate to see people exactly like cross that line. Instead of being conversational, they like to be confrontational. You know what I mean? It's like they like to be wise guys. And ask, you know, it's sad, man. Instead, you know, we all ain't going to agree on everything. All of our minds ain't the same. You know what I'm saying? I fight with everybody about David Lee and all this and that, but we all still
and everybody knows.
Friends
and if you
and
know
family,
me,
man.
Whether you know me personally or talk to me on Twitter or call my show, no one's easier to get along with than me. Come on, if you see me at the Garden, I'll probably even hook you up with two seats courtside. I mean, no one's better to people than I am. Ask Angel what I did for Imagino yesterday. You know what I mean? No one's better to the fans than me. So, like, you know, if you disagree that about, you know, I think Chandler's better than he is, for example, tell me. Be like, Aunt, I think you're wrong on Chandler. I don't think he's that good. All right, now we can have a conversation.
No.
But don't, you know. But anyway, let's actually talk
you
to basketball.
You just said it. I'm just saying, you're right, because me and Angel, We was bugging out the other night. You know, talking about Chandler and Gallo. You know, who's better than Angel? Loves Gallo. We talking about Chandler's probably a little better all around of a player, does more things. And we was calling each other names, Eddie Curry, yours, and Tom and Joe. But that's all fun and love. You know what I'm saying? You don't get mad at that. You don't hold that personal. You know what I mean? We all feel the way we feel, but boom. It's just, I hate to see people cross that line. You know what I'm saying? Like Stefano. Look how Stefano, when I came out about Mike D'Antoni and started going crazy and yelling and screaming about him, Stefano attacked me. But he did it in a formidable fashion. He didn't disrespect me as a person. He just felt how he came across as a man and showed his disagreement with me. And I still got love for the dude. You know what I'm saying? So that's the right way to go about things. There's certain things, like, I don't know, with me. Like, to me, with certain things, when I heard him say that about the sister, like, those are fighting words. Like, I was like, certain cats, I wish there wasn't.
Yeah, but he probably really lives in, like, Wisconsin, though. He probably lives in Wisconsin cutting cheese, you know?
You know what I'm saying? To be standing in the same room with certain individuals, you can drop the ref of God on their ass sometimes, because that's I hate people like that. People that tap into racism, sickness, and wishing people death. Like, I hate Isaiah Thomas. It's like Isaiah. All right, Isaiah's the nastiest. I might say Isaiah's the nastiest, dirtiest thing, most stupidest thing that ever happened to the Knicks, but I don't want him killed, or I don't want him dead, or I ain't wishing no bad ill upon him in his personal life. You know, I'm just mad about what he did to my Knicks team. You know, that's it. I keep it at that level. It's like, certain people, it's crazy. The things you hear from them, it's absurd, man. It's like, yo, it's not that serious. You know what I'm saying? I just was really disgusted. What I heard today, I'm serious from the core of my heart. As soon as I seen that and he crossed that line, see, I'm one of the dudes I like. When he crossed that line, I wish I could have pushed him back to the other side of the line, because those dudes are straight-up cowards and losers and would never say those things if they were standing in the same room with certain individuals. That's why I dropped that tattoo, because he said some racial stuff and all that, and I don't got time. You know what it is? I'm not even gonna play myself, like I told New York Ritterman. I'm not even gonna waste my time spending energy with him. Put the block on him, put the wall on him, because cowards like that, they don't even, I got time indulging. I'm not even gonna waste my time with that. And a lot of other people who's following that cat finally should realize and wake up. Drop that kid like in a minute, man, because people like that, they've shown their true colors and exposed themselves. And they're nothing but frauds and disgusting people who got nothing else to do with their lives but attack other people and use other people's down. Yeah, you're my man, and I mean that. You're my man. Like, if I was standing in the street and he would have said that to you, that cat would have had some serious issues. He would have got dealt with severely, man. You don't cross that line like that. You know what I'm saying? I hate it.
No, I agree. But anyway, George,
Anthony,
I agree.
I love you. Gianna, Anthony, after the show, I'm going to hit you on the thing. If I'm going to look at the tickets, love. I might need, a little help from you. Just help me out, my brother. You know what I'm saying? I want
to
come see
it's
you.
It's simple to do, man. It's honestly, George, even you can do it.
Yes.
Simple to do.
Listen, one more thing. To Angel, I forgot. Rubio from Chile told me to tell you that he can't call in and his thing is falling out there, but that Chile loves you. Rubio, we call him Rubio now. It's not Fernando. It's Rubio. He's all Rubio now. That dude is mad cool. He loves you. He said the Chile Miners love you. The dude who ran in the marathon love you, so you are a star, Anthony. When I get in that building Wednesday, you better do whatever you got to do to talk to David Lee. So, yo, you got to give this one dude a hug right now. He's crazy. I got to get him off my back. You know what I'm saying? Justin loves you. I want to hug David Lee. That's my man. I want to thank him for everything he did. You got to do me that favor.
Well,
you said you wouldn't. I'll buy you a $10 beer or a hot dog, man.
All right, George. Well, as always, man, thanks for checking in.
Yo,
stuff up's easy, George. You'll be able to figure it out.
Take some cover. Angel, Chino, Paul, we're getting ready. We're going to be in the building Wednesday night. We're going to represent TKB Radio and TKB Gangsters to full strength. Anthony, I love you, and I'll talk to you after the show, my brother.
All right, George, thanks for the love on the show tonight. Definitely appreciate it. 646-478-5554. Back to the calls we go, and let's go to area code 202. You're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
What's up, Anthony? How you doing, man?
What's going on, bro?
This is Benji calling.
Benji, what's up?
What's up, my man? Sorry to hear you got to deal with people talking.
It's all right. I learned from this situation. I'm just going to, hit the block button or whatever. But I'm human. But I'm the same time,
I know.
It's
human. It's hard to hold in those emotions, especially when it comes to that level. But you got too much positive stuff going on in your life, so you just... Besides that, so just, you got to block it out. But, I wanted to discuss, it's weird. I think the Knicks got to get the next three out of the next four games. I know I always look ahead on the schedule, but I think it's crucial that we get three of the next four, and I think we can get three of the next four.
We could. I think the one thing about the NBA, anybody can be anybody on any given night. But I think you look at yesterday's game, that's a game the Knicks have to win. But my thing is take it one game at a time. Golden State's not going to be easy. You know, bottom line is you can't look past tomorrow in Milwaukee. You know, the Bucks are gonna bring it tomorrow night. You know, the Bucks are 2-5. But one thing about the Bucks, you know they're going to play hard. They're very well coached. They're going to play tough defense. They're going to execute on the offensive end. So can't take the Bucks lightly. So, the game, got some tough games at Minnesota. Last year, a different team, but, the Knicks went up to Minnesota last year and got stomped. And the Rockets have, I believe, 1-4, 2-whatever. Rockets are a good team. Don't get, Aaron Brooks is out now. So the games aren't easy, but listen, the Knicks are not a championship team right now. No game is easy. No game should be taken lightly.
Nah, it's true, but I have noticed that they're playing. I just noticed that the general crispness of the way that they're playing is, I mean, it's so much more noticeable than recent years. I mean, gee, I know yesterday they shot poorly from the field. I mean, Thursday night they shot amazingly from the field, so it's going to even out. So you can't really get that discouraged, even though it was an inexcusable loss yesterday, no question. But they had a lot of open looks, wide open looks, that they just weren't knocking down shots.
Yeah, but if you shoot a lot of outside shots, that's not going to last. You'll have a game like Thursday night against Chicago, you're going to have a game like yesterday. You need to find other ways to score. And that's, you know, Amari, you got to get easy buckets. And like Alan Hahn said, who's on the show, you got to get easy buckets that come from the pick and roll, layups, dunks. You got to get those easy buckets too.
No, it's true. It's like, I think I got to put that on Gallinari because he just, I love him, but he's almost, at the end of last year, he drove to the hole all the time, and now I've seen him drive probably a handful of times to the hole this year. And, you know, I know it's only six games, but he relies on that outside shot. It's just, it's like a step back three, you know? It's just, if he just drove to the hole, he'd be so much more effective. I don't understand why he doesn't rely on that anymore.
No, I mean, I think, listen, it's always six games in. I don't want to jump to good or bad conclusions yet. Six games in, Knicks are 3-3. So at the very least, at least they're not 2-4 or 1-5 trying to fight to get back to .500. At least that's a plus, and that's a plus you got to like.
Yeah, how good has Turiaf been? My God.
He's been awesome. He's been,
guy has been unbelievable.
Turiaf's been great.
Now, I know you were at the game yesterday. You're at every game. But I swear to God, I heard them chanting MVP. Is that correct?
I
Ronnie Turiaf went to the line, and I swear to God, they were doing some type of chant for him.
Benji, MVP?
I heard some chant for Turiaf that was clearly.
Are you hanging out with Method Man and Redman?
No, I wish. I wish.
I heard
some chant. Maybe it was Roni. I don't know.
Maybe. I was there. You're an MVP chant.
I heard some chants for him. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But, no, it's interesting. I'm glad Alan Hahn asked you about Azubuike because he stole my thunder. I was going to ask you about how Azubuike was coming along.
Yeah, it seems that what Alan even said, I mean, we might not even get the full Azubuike this year, you know.
I don't even think we're going to get to see him. I'm getting that feeling that you might not see this guy.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of feeling that way now. Because you figure even when he gets ready to play, it's going to take him so long just to get in game shape.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, I'm just thinking we could just be, if Anthony Randolph, I mean, look, I think Anthony Randolph's going to improve his play. I can see he's over anxious. He's trying to prove too much out there. Like that's why he's coming in and just jacking up shots because he knows he only has 10 minutes to play. So he's just trying to show that he can contribute. I mean, but I agree with Alan Hahn. I think he's just got to focus on rebounding and blocking shots and his athleticism, and he can help the Knicks. I mean, you saw that follow up dunk he had yesterday. I mean, that's a big time play, and he you know, not too many guys can make plays like that athletically. So, I think he's gonna break out. I think he just needs to, you know, figure out how to play and play within himself. But he clearly definitely has a lot to learn as far as basketball IQ and those type of things because it's almost like he you know, he has a wide open three. He takes it. He just doesn't. He doesn't think out there. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah,
but I'm glad Roger Mason's not in the rotation. So
yeah, no, definitely. I mean, Roger Mason actually seems like a really good guy. I know, like Alan said, the whole locker room is full of good guys. I even spoke to Roger Mason after the game yesterday for a few minutes. Really awesome dude. But I love and just can't make a shot. And hopefully, you know, I wouldn't be shocked at some point. And Benji, as always, thanks for the call, brother. At some point, maybe Roger Mason's a factor. Maybe they can set him up to make a shot. But yeah, the locker room is definitely filled with good guys. At the end of the day, as fans, we don't care if they're good guys or not because you want to win so bad, but it does help if they're good guys. Definitely does. 646-478-5554. Back to the calls we go, and let's go to area code. Let's go to area code 718. You're on the air. TheKnicksBlog.com. The Knicks Blog Radio. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, what's good, bro?
Chilling. What's good with you?
Nothing. Listen, I mean, checking out some ESPN and NBA stuff, and I was searching how, like, they called basically, like, Amari Daly and Chris Bosh a bust. And I don't necessarily agree.
Amari said what?
On how they called Amari, like, a waste of money in sort of way. Cause, like, on ESPN, it's some kind of report or something like that, like something that they wrote themselves, like a piece. And how they.
I mean, that's everybody's entitled to their opinion. I mean, that's.
Yeah, but
you know,
like.
We'll see, ask me that. I'll answer that question in 2 or 3 years. You can't answer that question in 6 games.
Yeah, but
and
so
if he's a
far,
bust in 2 or 3 years, we'll say it. I'll say
so
it.
So far from what I can see, that, like, it's like from. Even, like, Raymond Felton is not a bad point guard. Raymond Felton, in my opinion, is 2 times better than Chris Duhon. That's fact for me. Second, the Knicks need a better person to spot up Stoudemire. Even though Raymond Felton is a good point guard, he's not a great point guard. Stoudemire looks like he needs to be set up, and he's not just a player that could just dominate and just do it all by himself. He needs someone that can set him up, and Raymond Felton can do that, but not on a frequent basis, which is why I think the Knicks are going to need to make a move, and a move quickly, because I know, I have a feeling that D'Antoni and, like, Walsh are a little paranoid about this, because they're looking at Randolph and evaluating their players, and I think they're looking at them like, we need to do one more thing, one more great thing, because we're not getting over that hump. So
yeah, remember Anthony's coming off an injury too. So, you know, they're not going to make a move just to make a move. If there's a move to be made, the move will be made.
Now you got to make a move to improve your team, not just to, like, just to make for the sake of a move, you know?
Right, I agree.
And second, like, from when I was watching, like Knicks Night Live on Fridays and when it was, like, in the summer, and they had, like, a comparison, like, who would you take? Like, oh, Chris Bosh or Amari, and now I see Chris Bosh's play, and compared to Amari, I would take Amari over Chris Bosh 10 times over. Would you do the same?
Yeah, I would say I like Amari a lot better. He's tougher. I mean, Bosh might have the overall better complete game, because Bosh, granted, he plays more outside, he can play inside and out, but I'm taking Amari just because on the court, Amari's a gangster.
Yeah, and on top of that, look at how Amari's embracing the New York attitude. He's actually doing it in the right way.
Yeah, he definitely is, without a doubt.
Anything dumb like Marbury was doing or anybody. He's doing the right thing. And, like, second, like, what's it called? How come I'm not seeing Roger Mason getting any floor time, like, in clutch time?
Because he can't,
like,
put the ball in the ocean.
Well, he hasn't played one regular season game yet.
Yeah, he's played a few, and he hasn't put in a shot. And there's, you know, they already got 10, 11 guys, you know?
And what's it called? Are we going to, like, do you think that the Knicks are going to win tomorrow, bottom line?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Because
I don't know, it might. 50-50, yeah, they might win tomorrow. The Bucks are a good team. They're on the road.
A Buck game,
I'm not going to guarantee a victory tomorrow. But I didn't think they had a shot to win, of course.
Because the Knicks, I was at a Buck game versus the Knicks, and it was one of the games of all games. It was like they bring the cup back from the first time in like 30-something years, and it was like a whole tradition, like a whole anniversary. The Knicks got
they bring the what back?
Water. Like the 1973-1972
I was at that game. I mean,
I was there too.
It was Monday night.
Yeah, and the Knicks got, like, slaughtered by, like, 40 or 30 points or something like that at home. And that was, like, a horrible experience for me. So if I see that again, I'm just going to kill myself right there.
Well, please don't do that. Don't kill yourself. I mean, I want you to live. You know?
Yeah, no doubt. I was just joking about that. No, like, anyway, I'm just going to throw out my opinions and fair shares about that. And, you know, take it easy, bro. See you tomorrow, hopefully.
All right, brother. Take care. Thanks for the call.
Take care.
You bet. 646-478-5554 is the number. TheKnicksBlog.com. The Knicks Blog Radio. We're going until 10:30 tonight. Got about 7 more minutes left on the show. Got time for a few more calls. Let's go to area code 772. You're on the air. TheKnicksBlog.com. The Knicks Blog Radio.
Yo, what's up, Ann? This is Eddie from South Florida, man.
What's going on, Eddie?
What's going on, bud? Hey, first of all, I want to say, man, don't worry about these crazy cats, dude. I mean, what you're doing for our us Knicks fans, man, it's amazing, man. Be here
every
Monday
now and then as a human being, like, because I'll just give you a quick, the character that was saying stuff to me was doing it for, like, 2 weeks straight, and I wasn't responding at all. And then finally, like, I was about ready to do the show. I get on Twitter, and I, you know, like we all do a million times a day, and I click the mentions button. And he went at me like 3 times, and like this is so now it's like 2 weeks straight of just going at me.
Oh, yeah,
I just blocked him a week ago,
yeah.
And I'm like, I had to say something. I had, I had to say something.
Man. You got it, man. You got to put people in their place, man. But I would say you're going to get those haters, man. But, I mean, what you're doing for us Knicks fans, dude, it's amazing. And you know you got love out there, man.
Thank you.
You come to Florida for Orlando or Miami game, you got a home, dude. You got family
down here.
I do want to talk about my boy TD, because a lot of people aren't talking about Tony Douglas, so they might talk about him a little bit. But I'm saying he's everything right now that everybody wants Gallo to be. He's doing it right now. If he's got to drop 30, he's doing it. If he's got to drop 19 and 10, he's doing it. If he's got to steal a ball, like, he's just an overall player. And I'm one of the people, I thought Gallo, and I still think Gallo's going to be a great player, but this year, I don't know. Like, to me, Tony Douglas could easily average 20 points a game this year if he keeps on getting it. I think he's at 16 now, you know. Should he be coming off the bench? I don't think so, but, you know, that's Dan Antoni, you know. I mean, I like him as a coach, but sometimes, you know, some of his decisions are a little crazy to me, but, I mean, I think TD's, like, the one player we have who's definitely ready to step up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he is, and he's definitely afraid to shoot. No, Tony's playing some good ball.
Yeah, he's not afraid to shoot it. You know, yeah, I mean, I agree, like you said a few shows back. You know, sometimes his shooting gets a little erratic, but you know what? He's still not afraid to take that shot, and he takes it with confidence. You know what I'm saying? And then the other thing I want to talk about is, you know, yeah, you know, we should have won that Sixers game, and, you know, I think it's a lesson learned just how to close out games, and, you know, especially when you're up by 9. But I got to say, the defense is definitely, you know, I haven't seen Knicks play defense like this in years, man. I mean, I can't even remember. And then as far as
the seven seconds, trust me.
Yeah, and I remember everything. Yeah, right? What a great memory over here, man. But especially with that 7 seconds or less, I mean, for once, we're doing it, man. I remember seeing one play. I can't recall who we were playing, but I think it was an oop from Felton to Chandler. And that shot was made so quick in the shot clock, man, that, you know, the camera couldn't even catch it. Like, I think they had to do a replay so you could actually see the dunk. So, I mean, it's good to actually see this team run transition, because a lot of people are talking about Dan Antoni going to half court. I mean, this guy's a transition coach, man. He's 7 seconds or less. It doesn't matter who we have on his team. He wants them to push the ball. So, I mean,
I think Felton can play half court, you know, especially if the Knicks make the playoffs.
You can have a
big game this season. You have to slow the game down, too.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. And as far as, like, Randolph, you know, I'm a little worried, but I think the guy's going to come into his own, you know.
What I see now is that he stinks, but I think he'll be okay. I think in the end he will be. Right now
he's definitely not doing it. And as far as Azubuike, man, I hope it's not to the playoffs, man. I mean, you really think it's going to – I mean, because the one thing you got to say about that guy, I mean, he's always been in shape, you know. I mean, obviously basketball shape's different, but, I mean, I'm hoping by January this guy can give us some quality minutes. You know, he might not be the same player, but, you know, I'm hoping he can at least hit that 3 like he did in Golden State and, you know.
Yeah, well, it's been a while. He hasn't played in almost a year now, so we got to see.
Yeah, that's true. It's been a little while, man. But, yeah, definitely, man. I keep listening to the show, and, yeah, you keep your head up, man. You know what I mean? Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for the call. Thanks for the call tonight on the KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. It's been a great show tonight. I know a lot of people are still waiting. I'll get everybody on the next show on Thursday night. I want to thank everybody for calling in. I want to thank Alan Hahn from Newsday. I want to thank my producer, Johnny McDonald. Does a great job. Alan Hahn from Newsday. Thank all the listeners, all the fans. Hope the Knicks can get a W in Milwaukee tomorrow night. The home of Latrell Sprewell, Milwaukee. It's the guy, Spree. So, hit me up, facebook.com/Wainwright. Follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG. Everybody have a wonderful night.